All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Tuesday, August 19th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we had a two-game League of Legends slate already get underway. We had 20-match tennis slate get underway, and then we had a MLB early showdown get underway as well. So good luck to all of you playing those slates for the rest of the day. We have a 5-game WNBA main slate as well as a 10-game MLB main slate. So should be a fun rest of the day. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all TFS related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So you can tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up here. One quick note, we did kind of talk about this a little bit yesterday, and luckily this came in faster than expected. But if you guys go to college football 3-game main slate for Saturday, our initial projections are up. So pretty cool to be kicking off college football with week 0 here. So I know I had said something along the lines of like, hopefully by like Wednesday, but did want to let you guys know our initial runs here are up. You can expect this, I think, to change, you know, throughout the week as line movement and news comes out around different teams and things like that. But some initial projections are up for college football if anybody wants to start messing around with that. All right. Outside of that, going to jump back to today. And we didn't have any questions come in prior to the show. Had a lot of questions yesterday, so that was a lot of fun. But for today, I figured we could start off with a slate demo and then kind of go from there. So if I were playing MLB for today, probably first thing I'd want to do is like check the weather. I'm going to go over to the RotoGrinders weather dashboard. Okay, so this is the double header. Houston, Detroit, I think are on the turbo. Toronto, Pittsburgh are on the turbo. Washington's on the turbo. I think Seattle, Philly are on the turbo. Okay, that gets us down to Atlanta. Yeah, so first game with weather on the main slate, which is what we're playing, is like this section here. So what do we got? So yellow, green, green, yellow, green. So all I see is like a storm, a storm, a storm, but doesn't seem like anything is putting us in, you know, postponement risk area, right? Which is usually what like the orange and the red signify. It's like, for instance, the Atlanta game might need a late start, but I expect they play and do so without any in-game delays. That's great. Tampa Bay, it's possible they end up late starting or delaying. It doesn't seem that bad. So it says like the odds of one ending up over the park aren't too high, so I'm not super concerned. Cubs game, winds blowing in from left at 10 miles per hour. That's usually good news for pitching in Wrigley. And then you go and I check team totals here and they're both like under 4, right? So I would look at this and be like, okay, you know, weather's kind of already being accounted for here. Dodgers, Colorado, storm or two is possible. Warm temperatures, wind blowing out, and the cruise elevation is a nice combo for bats. So obviously the Dodgers are the highest team total of the day, and obviously they didn't get there yesterday. You know, chalk was kind of a bust. I think they only put up 3 runs, but here they are, you know, kind of in the same spot with an even higher run total than yesterday. I think yesterday they were around like 7.3. And now they're at 7.8. So pretty wild there. Always interesting to see how SaberSim wants to handle the chalk. Everything we're doing here, you know, just kind of getting familiar with the slate, right? Trying to get a sense, okay, what are the weather spots we need to be conscious of? I like to come in here and just look at team totals. Like Dodgers are 7.8. Next closest is 5.1. So really nobody challenging them, you know, within 2.5 runs is pretty wild. So very high run total there. Come over, look at some pitching. Okay, highest projected pitchers, Green, Pivetta, Ryan. Sometimes I'll look at their salaries, you know. Sometimes you're going to, like, find slates throughout the season where, like, there are just not a lot of high salary pitchers. Here we have three pitchers over 9K. So decent pitching slate, Rodon, Woodruff, Ryan, Pivetta, Green. We see some ownership here, 28%, 23, 23. So trying to identify, like, who's the chalk. I like to look at, like, value. Okay, Bryce Elder, very low salary. I think he just has, like, a good matchup on paper against the White Sox, so his value is, like, kind of high here. But some combination of high value, high projected pitchers, dominating ownership. So nothing we wouldn't expect there. Cool. So, like, at this point, I feel, like, pretty comfortable starting to build my lineups. Now, if I were actually building my lineups, right, like, for the slate, what I would probably want to do is make sure, like, some more of these teams are, like, confirmed. Maybe, like, the first hour. You know, I'd probably want Yankees, Tampa Bay confirmed. I probably want the Rangers confirmed. I would be okay if Milwaukee, Chicago wasn't confirmed. That way, you know, we'll have, like, almost an hour to late swap for, like, when those teams get confirmed, right? So, seems good to me. That's, like, the point. I would be happy to run my first build. Or, like, my final build, actually, before late swap. Final pre-slate build. We'll go with that. All right. So, as far as rules, the only one I'm going to turn on, the don't use batters against opposing pitchers rule. It's the only one I like to use by default here. Min salary is already up at 49K. So, that's good, right? It is a bigger slate. I think, like, at 10 games, it defaults to 49. At under 10, it defaults to, like, 48. And I think, like, under 5, it defaults to 44K. Just some general guidelines there. So other than that, I really wouldn't be doing too much up front here. Pretty happy with how this looks. And then I would kick off this build. So I actually did run a build prior to the show, like a couple of minutes before, just to save a little bit of time here. So we already have a build with 5K lineups in it. So we're going to swap over and check this guy out. All right. Cool. So I'm in this build. I called it lineups just because I knew I had lineups built in it already. All right. So lineups build, right? Get 5K lineups. Let's say we're building, you know, 150 max. Let's crank this lineups up. So Sim would run. Diversifier would run. We're using portfolio. So that's perfect. Let's let the diversifier pick the 150 lineups here. All right, so this is basically where I would start, right? So we have average projection, average ROI, 102 projection, 41% ROI. Okay, so going to go over to my exposures. I always take like a zoomed out approach, so like macro lineup characteristics and then kind of hone in slowly. So like first thing is, hey, are our lineups correlated, right? Okay, hey, 5-2s, 5-3s dominating like 60% plus. 5-1-1-1s are 12%, 4-3s, a lot of correlation there. So, yeah, we're getting a ton of correlation in our lineups. That's great. I normally don't check game stacks too much, but with how high the Dodgers are, I'm just, like, kind of interested. Looks like we're getting not that many game stacks of them, but not that many in the pool either. So that's the only thing, like, I kind of wanted to check here. All right, go to team stacks. So 51% Dodgers, they are 32% in our pool. So seems like SaberSim is over on them. This, you know, run gap, I think just leads to getting a lot of them naturally here. So I want to go look at five stacks. Okay. They're, you know, three times higher than any other team in five stacks, twice as high in four stacks, twice as high in three stacks, twice as high in two stacks. So highest leverage is five stacking the Dodgers. And then some leverage across the board here. So I would make it like a huge point to just come into my all players tab, go to batters, filter for the Dodgers, and then look at my exposures to every player in their lineup, right? It's like, this looks pretty good. Okay. I'm like generally happy with how this looks. Gosh. So see, there's like one thing here that like stands out to me, but I don't know if you can like avoid this, right? So our highest exposed Dodger is actually their seven hitter at 34%. Now, I think the reason that is because their seven hitter Freeland is technically the lowest salary player in the lineup. So you like almost have to get salary relief somewhere. And it seems like the builder is taking it where it can get it. I mean, look at these salaries, 7,200 Otani, 5,700 Betts, 5,900 Smith, 6K Freddie Freeman, 5,400 Hernandez, 5,100 Páez, right? So, it seems like the builder is like zoning in on Freeland as a salary relief play. I don't inherently love the seven hitter being our highest exposed, but I understand why, right? So what I'm doing is like I'm making sense of it, and then I'm trying to make a decision based on that reasoning, right? What position does he play? He's a second baseman / third base eligibility. Okay, so he has more positional eligibility than Rojas. So that kind of makes sense. Rojas is like closest in salary at like 300 more. Looks like Freeland has a little bit more power. He's not very fast, about the same amount of stolen bases. Walks a little bit more. I'm just looking at some of his detailed stats, right? So this is like, this gets kind of interesting. I don't think Rojas and Freeland are like that different here. And we could probably like even go a step further and like look at what positions Freeland is in. Okay. So they're both 14% at second base, but then Freeland is 20% at third base. Okay, this kind of makes sense to me. So like what I was thinking, right, is like, okay, we understand, you know, you get a little bit more salary relief playing Freeland, but Rojas is like not that much worse salary-wise. It's like 300 salary. If everybody wants to play Freeland at, you know, double the ownership, well, maybe I should consider playing some more Rojas, right? That was the line of thinking I was going down. So what I did here is I looked at their exposure at the position that they're both eligible for. And in this case, their exposure at second base is actually equal. So like if they were both only second basemen, I think their exposure would be closer. But because Freeland has the third base eligibility, he gets a lot more exposure at that third base slot. And you know, who knows, maybe he's like one of the best third base options today, you know? So I don't want to just lower his exposure for the sake of lowering his exposure. I only want to do it like kind of if it makes sense to do it. And here we came up with like an idea, and then we looked closer, and then we realized like it didn't actually make as much sense as like we hoped. So we backed off, right? It is okay, you know, to decide that. So like in this case, I'm going to end up leaving him. But I did want to look at it a little bit closer, right? So we looked at these Dodgers, everybody over 10%, somewhere between 10 to 30-ish. I think it's okay. I think the decisions the builder's making in the exposures seems fine and warranted. So all in all, I'm like fairly happy with my Dodger exposures. And I would continue to analyze the rest of my set, right? But we spent some extra time there. We verified everything. We know what we're getting. We know what we're expecting and what we need to happen, you know, for us to have a good day there. All right, we go over to pitchers. So not too high or too low on anybody. Our top exposures are all pitchers over two value. We're even on Sheehan in Colorado, which I'm okay with. You know, he probably has like some high win equity, but matching in Coors seems fine rather than like taking a big stand for. So pitchers look good. So at this point, right, we looked at pitchers, we looked at batters, we looked at teams, we looked at projected runs, we looked at game stacks, we looked at you know, just overall stacks in our lineups. We've looked at our custom arms, not custom, our aggregate metrics, right? We're hitting all these different, you know, points or checkpoints that we want to check off in our process to help us decide, like, hey, do we like this set of lineups or do we want to make some adjustments, right? Here, I've gone through everything. You know, I've reasoned, I've considered changes, and ultimately I've decided, like, hey, I am good with this lineup set. I know Portfolio is doing like a great job and everything of helping you get there faster, but it is still good practice to, you know, put eyes on everything, make sure nothing catches you off guard when lineups lock and you can't make any more changes. So here, I'm pretty happy with it. I would be ready to save these lineups and upload them to my contest. All right. Question from Demetrius. If I'm only building 40 lineups, should I change the lineup tab to 40 or leave it at 150? Okay. So let's say you need 40 lineups, right? So what I would do is I would always build as many lineups as you need in the lineup pool section. So here, like this little I says, your lineup pool is the total number of lineups you will build, which will later be ranked and filtered to give you your final curated lineup set for your entries. So first step is always build as many lineups as you can. Then within your group, however many lineups you need is what you should change this number to. If I need 40, this number should be 40. If I need 150, this should be 150. So if I had 40 entries, I would want my lineup group to say 40 lineups. All right. Question in Discord from Black Mamba. So by chance, can you go over your process of when you decide to fade a player in baseball? Yeah. So a couple things like can kind of lead you, kind of help like guide you. Number one is the player's range of outcomes, right? Like, okay, if I just come in here and I sorted by projection for my pitchers, right? And we talked about this like a little bit for the batters, right? We almost faded Freeland because of a very small difference in salary that was leading to a very big difference in ownership, right? 300 salary difference was what the difference was between 12% ownership for Rojas, 26% ownership for Freeland. But there was a second component of lineup eligibility, which ultimately, in my opinion, ended up being like the more determinatory factor, right? So here, what I would probably do is like, okay, I come into my pitchers and I click on a pitcher and I see that, you know, they have a nice bell-shaped curvish distribution, so fairly consistent. Maybe I sort by value, and then maybe I see that, you know what, there are a couple pitchers here who have some high ownership, but their value isn't very good, right? The more normally distributed a pitcher is, the more, in my opinion, value matters. So like, let's take, for instance, see, all these guys are kind of equal, right? Like 10%, 8%, 9%, 12%, like for this value range. But let's say there was a pitcher, you know, maybe like Seth Lugo with a 1.6 value, but his ownership was like 15% or something like that, right? For some reason, the builder was expecting people to play more of him. You know, that kind of throws like a red flag for me. And it's like, you know, maybe we should consider like fading this player. You know, they have high ownership, but their value is not very good. Could be a good opportunity to fade them, right? What I'm doing is I'm using information in the app to kind of decide what route I want to go down, right? I'm using the range of outcomes, then I'm using the value, and then I'm using the ownership, and I'm trying to get like a blend there, right? Sometimes I'll use pool exposure. You know, there are times where pool exposure can help you make these decisions. And I'm trying to see if there's like a good example, which there's not like a great example from what I could tell. try Batters. Let's try ownership. Let's go like high ownership. All these leverages are like single digit leverages, so nothing like too egregious. But you could consider like, okay, hey, this is how often they're coming up like in the pool. Maybe I want to be lower on them, right? Like Teoscar's like pretty close. He's like 15% in our pool, 26% ownership. Here, right, you could like kind of consider fading him, but like we really like the Dodgers and being positive 3% leverage on him, you know, doesn't feel bad. You're basically like kind of even with him. So I said, okay, yeah, he's not great in the pool, but you know, we're even here. So that doesn't feel bad, but it's just sometimes things stand out to you where for me, I think like over time I've worked out this muscle enough to see like, okay, hold on, red flag, like going off, you know, why is something like this? It doesn't really make sense. And then usually when things don't make sense is where I would consider fading. Sometimes you see this on like NBA where it will be like a slate where there's actually not that much injury information. Values are like pretty low. And then it could be like very small differences like the Rojas Freeland thing in salary that lead to concentrated ownership. So like sometimes you'll see very concentrated ownership on certain players in slates with not a lot of value. And it's like, gosh, like this ownership really doesn't make sense. And then it's like something like that, that leads me to like fade a player. So just looking out for red flags. Hopefully I'm teaching you or helping you understand what to look for and not just confusing you. All right. Next question. Hi, Andrew. Is there a way to preserve my lineups that I have already entered on DK that are then uploaded to SaberSim? Thanks. Okay, so if the lineups are in a different contest, then yes. Like, so let's say you're playing two contests, a 20 max and a single entry. If you want to hand build a single entry, yes, you can exclude that contest and only build for the 20 max. We actually talked about that in depth on yesterday's show. So I'll point that out real quick. Okay, so on yesterday's office hours, I think it was right around here-ish. Okay, so at this like question, if you go into the description, you'll also see these are timestamped, the different sections here. So I think it was this 9:10 one, yeah, where the question changes. This timestamp recording will show you how to do that if they are two separate contests, okay? So I'm going to send that in the Discord here. If it is the same contest, you're not going to be able to do it. So when it is the same contest, you're not going to be able to preserve one entry and then build 20 new ones. So what I would probably do there is, what can you do? What can you do? You can either do it after uploading, so like build 20 in SaberSim and then change one after the fact and just like pick one, or you could do it in the SaberSim app. So like for instance, right, let's say I'm building some lineups, but I want to put in like a hand-built one. You can change these players with the trash icon. So like I can remove Joe Ryan and then I can go and pick, you know, Nick Pivetta instead, right? And you can actually build your like hand-built lineups in here. That way they get included. The only other thing I would do is get rid of the last lineup in your set of lineups. So like, you know, if you have 40, I would change the 40th one, right? Don't change the higher ranked ones, change the lower ranked ones. So either the two contest approach or within a contest approach, changing it in SaberSim and getting rid of the lowest ranked lineups would be my best options. All right. I think we are all caught up here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.